Kia ora. A bit muckaready still, but it gets a bit warm at night. It just seems to get cold during the day. But hey, I like having to stay at home in this terrible weather.
Yeah,
Really
look,
feel for
what
our West
about the
Auckland.
floodings? Yeah, floodings in West
I
Auckland.
know.
How were you? We were battered around a little bit by a little bit of wind and rain. We're over in Weymouth, but nothing compared to West Auckland.
No, south side, all we had was a bit of thunder, some heavy rain. Woke up to find out that West Auckland are being evacuated and people's lives are turning upside down right in the middle of a lockdown four. So I really feel for them, and I hope that services step up and the community steps up, because right now their issue is getting somewhere safe rather than worrying about COVID.
Absolutely. And so we're staying in level four for another 14 days. That's us here in Tāmaki Makaurau. Te Tai Tukurau might know about their situation at the end of the week. Well, they will know about their
They will.
situation. Now, around the Motu, then everyone else is in level three. So that, different levels. What do the different levels mean for our whānau hauā around the Motu? Is it going to be easier for them if they move to level three, given that, not much changes really? So it is about getting access to resources and to supplies and having it done safely and PPE gear for their minders. So how are we doing around the Motu?
They're okay. Most of the issue is getting access to pay basics, having caregivers turning up. So under level three, a lot of them will be able to organise carers to get back there to support them, which is good. But one of the issues that keeps coming up is when it happens like that suddenly, it throws disabled people out because their carers can't turn up under level four unless they have prepared or they're already in a bubble that's safe. And because people weren't prepared, a lot of carers didn't turn up yet again. But hopefully, we've let the minister know. I had a good conversation with Jan Logie last week about some of the issues, and she ensured me that she was putting that straight to the Prime Minister's office. And to Jacinda's credit, she did actually mention about disabled people needing access to things. So they're aware, but I'm still very disappointed that 18 months later, there's no contingency on how you can smoothly transition between levels if you're disabled and relying on other people. It's a big issue.
So caregivers then for our whānau hauā are not essential workers then.
They're not deemed it, but some are. If you have got no one else and there's no other way, then you have no choice. But the problem you've got, if they've been exposed, like my carer support was actually in Taupō, I think it was, saying goodbye to her husband's grandmother that day when the announcement came. So then they travelled home and didn't know that there was a lockdown until I let her know that she won't be coming in for the next couple of weeks. And I said, you've got to work out, have you been exposed? Have you been to any of these spots? Luckily, they drove straight to Nana and straight back. So they actually didn't stop off anywhere along the Coromandel. And it seems like we dodged a bullet with the Coromandel and with Wellington, and it hasn't hit the South Island. It's really just Auckland and Warkworth. So, we were lucky, and she was lucky, but she also has a brother that works at the airport, so we have to be very careful. And I'm as concerned about making sure she's getting paid, making sure she's okay, as I am about her making sure I'm okay. So we've worked it out that she's there on call as an essential worker if I need her. But because I have my partner here with me, we're okay at the moment. But the essential worker's actually turning up. She'll be around tomorrow to do some shopping and that with us. So, it's we're very careful. She knows to be careful. She's fully vaccinated, but a new issue's arisen. Can you legally dismiss someone, a caregiver, who refuses to be vaccinated when you're autoimmune yourself and you need their caregiving? Yes, you can, because the choices, they can choose to be vaccinated or not, but if they place you at risk, it becomes health and safety. So you are legally allowed to tell them that if they remain unvaccinated, they can't return. And that's an issue that's come up in the disability community, because they're saying some of the carers don't want to be vaccinated. And I'm telling them, well, actually, under the law, if they're not vaccinated, you do have the right to say, no, it's my life and it's my health, and I can't risk you putting me at risk. So, it's a different form of discrimination in a way. It's about making sure that the client's safe. So that's arisen as a big issue. the issues.
What about for our whānau who are our whānau Māori, because we are under vaccinated, and for those of our whānau who are taking care of whānau hauā members and they're not vaccinated either? What happens if it's in a close familial relationship like that?
Well, if they're in the same bubble, it's not an issue because they're isolating with the client, with their whānau member. But if they're in a different bubble, then they need to have a conversation about what's safe, you know, in that meantime. But they do need to be pushing to get vaccinated. I mean, I told my carer support, you need to state you're an essential worker and you need your vaccination. And she pushed it and got her vaccination earlier. So, you know, essential workers should be prioritised for vaccinations at all levels. But they weren't, they haven't been. It's been rolled out now to teenagers and it's actually missing. Some of the essential workers remain unvaccinated, and that's a huge concern. So we do need to get some more stepping up. But then I'm looking at some of the mobile ones, and they've certainly been going through a lot of testing and a lot of vaccinations in the last couple of weeks. There's been a big increase. I'd like to see what the numbers of Māori and Pacifica people are under those new, where everyone just surged forward. The annoying part is a lot of, well, non-essential workers, upper middle income people, have been pushing their way in or doing walk-ins and denying some of the people that really urgently need the vaccinations because they're just pushing through on the queues, which is a huge concern. But we, you know, our own community needs to be prioritised before anything else, particularly South Auckland, West Auckland, you know, middle of the range. These are where all the workers are coming from, and these are the people that should be prioritised.
Can I just go back to a point that you made about wages, about being paid for caregivers? So if they're not essential workers, then if they're not deemed to be, I don't understand why they're not deemed essential workers across the board. But if they do, if they are not required, then do they not get paid in situations like this? What is the payment schedule for caregivers in times of this, in times like this, where they're not deemed to be an essential caregiver?
Well, for each of us that have carers, I'm on IF for individualised funding. So it's my choice to continue to pay my carer support, but it comes out of my budget. So if I've overspent by paying her and paying, say, someone else that's in the bubble to be my carer, then that's on me because I lose funding. But there are wage subsidies available. It's not as much as what they get paid as a wage. I've chosen not to go for that, but some of the disabled that handle their own funding are actually applying for wage subsidies because they have more than one carer, so it's too many people for them to cover. So they do have a wage subsidy available, but others can either choose to be unpaid or apply for the wage subsidy. They are entitled to it, so they can get it, but a lot of the disabled, again, don't actually know how to go about and help their staff member get that. So what's happened is, I know with Manawa Nui in charge that I'm under, Marsha, who's the CEO, has actually gone out and done videos and explained to people how to go about these things. Their coaches can actually guide them. Connectors under EGL and Enabling Good Lives can guide them on how to apply for that type of funding. But it is available now. It wasn't available last year. There's the difference. But it is available this year, the wage subsidy, as an alternative under Level 4, because we still need to be able to pay them somehow. Mm. We can't just cut a person's wages off and say, sorry,
yeah, absolutely,
shut down, you know.
It does seem really rather complicated, unnecessarily complicated for caregivers.
Well, it is, and the average disabled person struggles with what all that means, and that's why it's really recommended, and part of the work I've been doing with the ministry is looking at that and how do we make that a simpler process for people that aren't used to employing people. See, it's different for me because I've employed people for years, but some just don't know what their obligations are, and that places them at risk as an employer.